Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host, Han Tran. Han, how are you this evening?
I am doing swell, Jim. Doing swell. Excellent. We're in beautiful Florida, waiting for hurricane season to start.
Well, welcome to you. We're in beautiful northwestern Ohio. The sun's out. It's summer, and we're exactly where we should be. So, but tonight, we've got an interesting show to talk about, our episode number 39, Adding On, What to Consider Before You Start. Now, Han and I were talking before the show, and we've obviously had many, many discussions about this topic. And so many times, the default to the problem of I need to do something, I'm running out of space, is I'll add on. Well, that's not always the wisest solution because there's so many factors. So tonight's show, we're going to talk about all those factors, at least what we can squeeze in the next 60 minutes, and give you as much as we can in the way of stuff to think about before you pull that trigger and actually decide, yes, I'm going to do an add-on. Now, we also, tonight, we're talking about, let me give you a definition of what we say, what we consider an add-on. An add-on is any time that you're going to add to your existing building. So it's not a renovation. Renovation is something where you work on the inside of your building, you move a wall, you paint, you carpet, whatever. That's renovation. We're talking about you're physically adding square footage to your existing building. This could be a building that you currently own. This could be a building that you're looking to buy. And say, I like that building, I like that location, but it's not big enough, so I'll add on to it. So that's what tonight's show is about. It's about that. Now, also remember, this is a call-in show, so if you have a question, feel free to call. That number is posted on our website, obviously, but if you want to call in, you can call in at 657-383-1442, and Han and I will do everything we can to answer that question. So tonight, Han, we were talking a little about so many times we've had clients come to us. You have folks on the Dental Town Forum that are saying, I just want to do a little add-on. What do you tell them first?
Let me add one item on the list that you would consider adding on, Jim. Typically, yes. When we think of addition, we think of changing or increasing the footprint of an existing structure. But an addition could also apply to an existing, dental suite in a, in the medical office building, or a commercial building, or a condo, or a retail strip. So the act or the involvement of increasing the footprint of the existing practice, that I think will fall under the addition. But the traditionally, what Jim's talking about is adding on or increasing the size of an existing building. Okay. Typically, when we are approached by a potential client expressing that they have a they have a suite or an existing office that's just growing and they need more clinical space and so on and so on. A couple of things that we want to know is naturally, do they own the building? What is it that they have that for us to work with? But the big question is that, like Jim said, does it make sense? Can it be physically be done? And it, does it, will it give you the net gain that you're looking for? So if you have a piece of property and you never actually thought about its potential or ability to be, you know, to be used for future addition, that's the first thing that we look at.
So what you're saying is, you know, first question is, why am I adding on? There has to be a reason, and that reason has to be something that has something tangible to it. I'm adding on because I've got a new associate or two associates, and we're tripping over each other. We've already done the split shift stuff, and we're still tripping over each other, and we need more room. We need more operatories. Because we have more operatories, that allows us to bring in more patients. Our patients are, you know, it takes over two weeks before you can get a new patient in. Okay, that's a legitimate reason. Yes, you need to add on. Or you may say, you know, we have no place for proper sterilization. We have no place for proper equipment. Whatever those particular needs that you have, or what you have is not, doesn't suffice, and so you need to add on because there's no physical place for it to be placed in your existing footprint. You may say, I want that newest imaging system that's out there, or I want that new a milling system that's out there, and I want to put that into my facility, and you physically don't have a place for it. All of those make for it's time for an add-on or some kind of addition. So there's the reason why. But just because there's a reason why doesn't mean that's the right answer that you need to do it, because there's so many things. And you know, let's really kind of talk about it. Let's use the first scenario, hon. Let's say you go in and the doc says, we're tripping over each other. We've done all the split shift stuff we can do, and I need five more operatories.
Well there's a list
of things that have to be checked. What are they?
Availability of real estate. That's one. Where can you actually add on to the building so that it makes logistical sense, so you're not creating a maze for yourself? It happened all the time. We have clients that come, or potential client come and say, I've been at this practice. You know, my father, I've been at this practice for 50 years. I bought the practice from him. So totally, I've been there for 10, whatever the duration is and so on. And historically, when they need more space, they just basically take on, you know, a next bay, or they just add on, but without really looking at how things work together. Again, in one of our episodes, we talk about adaptability. We, as a human being, we adapt really quickly. But is that something that you want to do? Adapt to a bad thing doesn't make it better. Okay, and so we look at physically, how can it be done? Is there real estate to do it? And how that addition also will affect the property. You need additional parking, naturally, because you're going to have more body into your practice, both from patient base as well as staff. So therefore, you need additional parking. The addition may take some parking away, so you have minus parking, and then additional parking. So on the existing property, based on the current zoning ordinance and all that, can it be physically be achieved? So that is one of the hurdles that you have to also have to clear. Do you have the physical real estate to allow you to do the addition? Naturally, we, you know, by start thinking about it, we already know why. But how? That this is where it's important that you have to identify all the things that you have to clear, all the things you have to modify. The addition of the building is simply not putting a rectangular box next to the building and say, I add on, because the add-on will effect have great effects on your existing your practice, the layout, the flow, and all that stuff. So, and numerous other things associated with your building. Jim?
Right, exactly. And another area that you could run into is the ability to actually even add on. We've had projects where the zoning code, excuse me, I had to cough, the zoning code has had changed since the original build. And the zoning code further cut into the buildable area of the property. And what I mean is, let's say the road right away got bigger. And by doing that, the setback requirements from the right of way effectively shrunk the area that you could build in. Now, the original building is grandfathered, so it doesn't, they can't take that away from you. But what they can do is they can adjust the ability for you to do anything more. So that has to be checked. Because if it's not, and you try to move forward with this, you may run into a hurdle which will kill the project almost immediately, and then, or you have to go after a variance. And if you're unsuccessful in getting that variance, that will again kill the project immediately. So you need to have that checked by a professional who understands what you're trying to accomplish. So that kind of jumps you into the thing of, well, okay, who do I need to do this? Well, obviously you need a design professional like ourselves. You're probably going to need a civil engineer, and obviously pulling into the team would be a good idea to have somebody who has construction ability so they can help answer the question of, you know, is this actually physically buildable? But having to do with the ability to physically add on is just as important from a code planning and zoning aspect as it is from a actually physically having enough space. Now, we've had clients that have come to us and said, I want to add on, I need to add on, but I have this issue and this issue. Things like, I don't have enough parking, or I don't have the right-of-way situation, and my setbacks require that I'm not allowed to. Well, then we have to get a little more creative. And the creativity comes in, all right, how can you massage or rearrange so that you can maybe move into an area of your property that will allow you to build? Or do you have to then go to the next step and say, okay, I need to acquire adjacent property? So, you know, maybe it means that the house that's located beside you is something that you have to acquire, tear it down, to give you the space necessary for your build. Now, then it comes into the financial issue of, all right, now let's look at this. I'm going to be putting X in there for the remodel / addition. And now I have to go buy additional land to be able to make that happen. So from a business standpoint, you have to have the understanding that these are things that are costly and need to be within the budget, because just adding on is not a simple, okay, I'm adding on 500 square feet and it's $250 a square foot. That's the math. That's what it's going to cost. No, it's not going to, very rarely is that the case, unless of course you have already had the add-on previously planned. Now, when we build new buildings for our clients, we will address that point with them and say, okay, where are the logical places for additions if you in fact want to do that? These are the logical places. We'll put the building in such a way that those logical places will allow for it. So we've already pre-planned for that addition. That's the perfect scenario. But 9 times out of 10, that's not what's happened, has it, Han?
No. No, I mean, we typically, we don't live in utopia. Okay.
We like to make it utopia, but you're right. We don't live in utopia.
Yeah, it will be nice, but it's not the case. Now, Jim, we a lot of time existing buildings, I don't want to say a lot of time, occasionally we run into where an existing practice may have been an older home that had been converted, okay? And some of the issue besides having enough real estate, right setback and all that stuff, besides all that, there's another hurdle that you may have to jump is called historic, meaning that if you're building the existing building located in a historic district, and that could be a huge hurdle to jump to actually make sure that you get their blessing, whatever the addition is going to be. It's a major headache. And that based on our encounter, but you have to know. All right. So, Jim, that's my two cents for that.
Yeah, add-ons in the historic district are difficult. Let's just put it that way. Very, very difficult. Can be done. Now, thankfully, the majority are not in historic districts. But for the folks that are, you got to be forewarned. You understand what the requirements are and get a professional who understands that and be part of your team. Because you still have to go through the processes. You still have to go through the review process. You still have to go through all that stuff. It's not just like, well, I can go get my builder. My builder can add that, 500 square feet that I need, and away we go. And it's not that simple. Now, the other thing that is crucial, very crucial, is the internal flow. Now, Han, you touched a little bit about that, but it could mean a disaster or it could mean a home run. How does the addition work? How do you make that work with that addition, Han?
Well, let's say you have you have an existing practice and it was done perfect. You have 7 treatment rooms, everything's within reach and all that stuff. Okay. The addition, you say, I need another 4, maybe 6 treatment rooms. Okay. So we find, you want to extend your clinical area. Suddenly now you have 4 or 6 treatment rooms that are a lot further away from your sterilization and supply, for instance. So you have to look at, logistically, does it make sense to, within that expansion, that you do some rework so that the sterilization, at the minimum, the sterilization will be more central to the final layout, the final clinical space that you're going to work in, so that, you don't have but maybe 2 or 3 treatment rooms away from sterilization. So that logistic is clinical. Logistic is a important factor that that could create harmony in your within your staff, resulting from that new addition, or it could be a nightmare. In fact, before we went on, before we went on the air, I was looking at a layout that I just presented today for discussion and critique, and that's exactly that scenario. Is there's an existing practice being add on, and here is the new clinical, and it's the sterilization is on the opposite end of the building, which is worse because it's not just somewhat off center, it's at the opposite end. So it creates, the new operatory, they might as well put on, track shoes or a rollerblade, to get to the sterilization because it's pretty stinking far away. Okay, so logistically, it has to be looked at. The addition will affect a lot of the internal flow. So it is important thing to analyze and then see you know, see the scenario how it can be achieved so that you have the optimal result to enhance your practice. Jim?
Right. So you're right. You have the optimal result because you have the potential of taking a good layout and turning it into crap. And
yeah.
Basically, because of that scenario you just laid out, it becomes something that will actually hinder your ability to get work done because it takes you longer to get from point A to point B and your people to get further away from point A to point B. And so the flow gets all messed up. And so that, in essence, you hurt yourself more than you help yourself. And obviously, you wouldn't want to do that. Now, let's also look at that from a constructability standpoint. So let's use that scenario you just talked about, that you're putting on operatories and you have to have some internal rework within your existing practice so that things will flow properly and this new operatory add-on makes sense. I guess the first thing we would say is, all right, should we add on the operatories or should we step back and think about this? Maybe we rework the inside of the existing so that you get more operatories and the add-on is for the support services. Maybe that makes more sense. So we would look at that from both angles, not just the sense of, okay, we're just going to add operatories. No, no. We're going to try to add operatories to the complete project. And sometimes it makes more sense that, no, the support areas are going to be in the new addition and the operatories are going to be within the existing so that you can rework things. Now, no matter what you do, when you're looking at reworking, you open up the potential, and Han, you and I were also just talking about that your existing building was originally grandfathered when it was done. So let's say it was done in the 80s, and under that particular code, that's what you had. Now, you're looking at reworking the inside of your existing building. The minute you do one thing within the inside of that building, you have the potential that the inside of your existing building has to be brought up to the current code. That has to be checked with your local building official to see if that's the case, because a lot of times it is. And so then your add-on is more of an add-on with also a renovation to the interior to bring it up to the current code. Could be simple, could be elaborate. It all depends on what you have. So all of that has to be checked by the design professional, the architect.
Here's a couple of questions that we often also ask, Jim. It's rather important, how we approach the project, how to work the schedule so it can be done with as little pain as possible. Okay. Is that the question is, can you afford to close down the office and how long? Because renovation what affects the quality of life in your office. You have a patient sitting in the chair and they may hear jackhammer, they may hear saw, screw guns, and so it could be normal construction noise. Okay. It can be enough to just annoy you in a day or two, but it could drive you absolutely batty for a couple months. The question is, can you afford to close the office down for the construction and or how long? And that's important, because if you can't, then maybe a different approach or different way to achieve what you're looking for need to be, investigated. For instance, one scenario that was presented to us is, the existing practice is growing, and they had went through one renovation prior to us coming on board. And the doctor say, you know, I got my land, and I can, I need to expand. I say, well, parking, how we would need to bring in dirt to fill the top of the hill, so that we can get some flat land to accommodate the additional parking, and all that stuff. And the addition, it was originally a house, and the add-on was not done in a manner that I plan for future second or third edition, and so on. And you know, after some conversation, after some soul searching, the approach was to leave it alone. You know, work the practice, find a different site where you know a new building can be designed from the ground up, so you have really what she's looking for, and so on. And that was the approach. Did finally a new building, and and do all the redesign and all that stuff, and you know, including the site and all that. And then when it's done, she can move over there and have, now you have two practices. One can be sold off, or it could be a satellite office. So a lot of discussion need to be done. A lot of question need to be answered. If some of the, scenarios that if you can't afford to shut down, then an addition is more than likely can't happen. If it happens, it has to be handled in a very, very meticulous strategic scheduling. We've done that a couple of times successfully, but it need to be put on the table for some hard discussions. Jim?
Yeah, because you're right, Hon, it's not easy. You know, it's all right. If it is simple, and then let's say you are just putting four operatories on the side of the building, and you got lucky and you're able to be able to just open up a doorway through the hallway into the new space and everything works, well, you know, that's the least minimal pain from a constructability / business being open situation. Because you could do all that building, all that stuff. You're still seeing patients. Yeah, all the buildings happening on the other side of that wall. And then over the weekend, when you're shut down for maybe three, four days, they open up the wall. They do the connection. They clean it all up. And you're open for business on Monday or Tuesday morning. That's the perfect utopia scenario, but 9 times out of 10, it's not that easy. And there's a lot that has to happen potentially on the inside. And that includes things like connecting to existing utilities, connecting to, you know, water, sewer, gas, vacuum. A big one is HVAC systems, your heating and air conditioning. Well, you may say, well, I'm just going to add on 4 more operatories. Well, that's great. You're going to add 4 more operatories, but how are you going to heat and cool them? Is your existing furnace and air conditioning system sized so it can handle those additional 4? I doubt it. 9 times out of 10, they're never put in bigger than what's needed. They're usually put in right at the level of what's needed when they first build these things. And several times we've run into the situation that the heating and air conditioning code has changed, and the requirement for what's called fresh air intake has increased so much that your existing air conditioner and heating unit can't even satisfy the needs of your existing space under the new code. So remember when we talked about when we said you open up the existing to the bringing it up to current code, you may be replacing your heating and air conditioning system to bring it up to code, let alone being large enough to be able to cover the rest of the existing building. as on top of the new addition. So it might be that, or it might mean you have to put in a separate heating and air conditioning unit just for the addition. Then that can be done. There's all kinds of systems out there, things called mini splits. There's rooftop units, there's ground-mounted units, there's stuff that can go in basements or crawl spaces, stuff that can go in attic, but that's something that has to be evaluated and determined so that you understand what you're getting yourself into. Because just like the scenario, Han, you were talking about, it got to the point where the doctor said, it doesn't make sense to keep throwing money into this existing building. Let's find new property. Yep. Let's build what we want. And then we can either sell off the existing building or use it for some other use. Now, here's another possible scenario on that same kind of arrangement. Let's say you're lucky enough that you have more than enough property to do your addition. But you found out because of the layout of your existing and how you want to and the way it exists on your property that by putting the addition on, you actually cause yourself an internal mess. And so you may say, that's not the way to do it. Let's do this. That's where we would look at the possibility of building a new building adjacent to or behind or over to the side or somewhere else on your existing property. And then completing that whole building, then moving your existing equipment over into the new building. If you know it's new enough and it works and everything you like, you can move it over the new building in a short period of time. And then you move into the new building and then tear down the existing building and use it for parking or landscaping or whatever else you may do. I mean, I guess theoretically, if there's even enough room, you could leave the existing building, you could rent it out to some other use.
Yeah, that's a very possible specialist
or some other, you know, a chiropractor or somebody else that might have a use for that particular building, depending on your scenario. But that's another possible solution to the problem. I need to add on because I need more space. And that's actually a pretty good solution.
Yeah, Jim, so the whole process is, you know, regardless whether you built a new building or you add on to existing, is that there's the pros, okay, in building another building on the same site, is that you don't have to deal with construction noise and stuff like that internally in your existing practice. You can still practice and all that, and then when it's done, you can move in. I just went blank, Jim.
Okay. That's okay. All right. Well, you know, in that scenario, obviously, you know, maybe you're not lucky enough and you don't have enough existing property to be able to do something like that, but you've determined that you have to do this. Well, then that's where you go to the next step, is you try to buy adjacent property to accumulate the property necessary to do just that. So that's where you're looking at maybe the adjacent house or the adjacent two houses that are your existing property can be acquired. They can be torn down, and then you can build there right adjacent. You know, the advantages of that kind of scenario are you're not moving from your location. Let's say you're perfect. You've got the sweet spot of the location in your town. You've got the exact location. It's the traffic center. Everybody goes by your place. You've been established in practice there for quite a while. Everybody knows where you're at, so you don't want to mess that up. Well, then it's time to really think about those adjacent properties if you don't have enough room to do what you want to try to accomplish. But the actual idea of, well, I'll just add on, is it's not that simple. Because there are so many things. One of the ones that we've run into, Hans, a lot of times is the structural inability to add on. That existing building was not constructed in a way that it actually could be even added on to without, you know, major renovation. And I'm talking about things like the roofing system or the framing system or, you know, the underground utilities that are coming into it, easements that run around the building, you know, like water and sewer and gas. You know, you got to be careful of all those because you're not allowed to build on top of them. Electrical easements might be in the way. You have to check that because if they exist, they have to be moved, and then there's a major cost in moving those. The city and the electric companies and such, they don't like to move those things, or and they don't do it for cheap. They don't. They do it a lot of times, or they hire it out. And it's high, and it's a very expensive solution. You were going to say, hon?
Yeah, Jim. And some of the projects that I've encountered through the years is the discussion need to be had is that if the existing building and let's say you have the land and all that stuff and you're going to move forward with the addition, okay. Most of the time, the structure that we encounter for a dentist's office are relatively small, and they're usually around, you know, 5,000 square feet plus or minus a little bit, you know, give or take. So let's say the structurally, it need to be modified or bring up to date, so it has the, you know, the proper life loads and the addition going to affect the major wall, you know, load-bearing walls and things like that. Literally everything can be done, okay? It's just a matter of how much it costs to do so. I've learned a few things in the past is that I didn't know that you can take out a column in the middle of the building that support the wall so that a production line can be put in. Like if you say, you know, if you look at the layout and you say the sterilization, which is basically the heart of your clinical area, need to be here. You want it to be right there in the middle of the clinical area, except there's a column or two that it can in the way. Those columns can be moved, okay? The structure can be reworked, but it come at a pretty hefty price. Those discussions need to be made is that how important is it to have that done, and can you bear the cost? So literally everything can be modified, everything can be changed, everything can be updated. The question is, does it make sense, and can your budget, can you afford within your budget to do so? Right? It's there when it comes to a building. There is nothing that cannot be done, just as long as you have money to afford, you know, to afford you to make that change.
Yeah, Jim? It kind of gets to that point where it would have made more sense to just tear the building down and build something new.
And we've done that.
And you've got to weigh that because the headache and the stress level and the disruption to your existing practice and the disruption to your patients and the disruption to the potential new growth that you have going on your existing practice, all of that has to be factored into, does this addition make sense? And if you can answer all those questions satisfactory, then it makes sense. You can do that and you move forward. But if you can't, and if just one of them you can't, you really need to really think about, maybe we need to do something else, or maybe we need to try to solve this problem another way. Now, you may say, oh, you guys are just talking about this because, you know, you just want to do new buildings. Or you want to do new buildings on existing property and then tear down the old or do something other than doing renovations. Actually, we enjoy doing renovations/additions. They're fun. They're complicated.
They're more challenging.
They're challenging. They're interesting. And in essence, you probably end up spending more fee for us to do that because they take us more time. So from a business standpoint, from the, you know, the business of architectural dental design, we'd rather do add-on and renovations because we make more money. But it's not always the answer. And it's not a matter of making money for us. It's a matter of what's the right solution for you. And the right solution could be something other than that add-on. Because add-ons are complicated. They take time and they take – all these things have to be looked at and reviewed and solved, and all the solutions have to work together as one. So, yeah, that takes more time for us. Effectively, our fee is higher. And because of that, that has to be factored into your decision as well. You were going to say, Hon?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the adding on to a building, we say we like that. Yeah, we like that because it challenges us. It pushes us to think outside the box, looking for, you know, for solution that, of how you can meet the client's objective and make the structure work with all of the, you know, logistical requirements from inside and things like that. So, yeah, it's somewhat of an ego thing, I think, is that we like that because it's there's like some forensic work that you need to do because there's a lot – often a renovation to a building, we didn't start with a blank sheet of paper. We started with what the heck is here? And we had to find, you know, go out into the field and look and turn up everything to find out what was there and how it can be resolved. For instance, if you lift up the carpet and you go, oh my God, there is linoleum under the carpet and whoops, that baby is asbestos. Okay. It's interesting. Okay. I can also say it could be a pain in the butt. But it's once in a while, it pushes you to a different limit when you do renovation. With new building, we can call the shot all day long. Jim?
Yeah, actually, new buildings are actually easier. They really are. Yep. They really are. Now, one area we haven't talked about, and it's something that has to be looked at, and you need to be cognizant of, and it has to do with the folks at planning and zoning and specifically landscaping. We are finding more and more around the country that the planning and zoning folks throughout the communities are looking at landscaping requirements. And so we've seen a lot of them that have changed and are actually now increasing the requirements for landscaping around your building. We've got projects under construction right now that I'm serious. I've never seen the level of landscaping requirement for a project of that size, of magnitude of a dental office. I mean, it's just amazing what planning and zoning requires.
It's almost like it's other people's money, so they can demand everything. Yeah, it just seems like, oh my God, you're not putting in grass and a couple of trees. You actually are required to have berms and just excessive amount of vegetation. So it's another item that has a decent price tag to it.
Right. And when Hon says berms, he's talking about a lot of requirements now that parking has to be shielded from the community. So you have to either put in, you know, potentially berms or hedges or a combination of both, or even walls, site walls, those kind of things to be able to shield the parking lot from the adjacent community. And it just It's one thing after another after another. And again, that will add to what this potential addition is going to cost you. You need to understand that and make sure that you have that in your calculation before you say, yep, it makes sense to move forward on this addition from a business standpoint, from a dollars and cents. Because you got to weigh that against, well, maybe I'm not in the perfect location and maybe I can find a new piece of property and build a brand new building somewhere else and, you know, move from that location. Or you may say, nope, I'm in the perfect location. I don't want to move. But adding on to this thing doesn't make sense. Then you go back to that scenario where, okay, I need to build something new here or an adjacent piece of property or a new piece of property you just bought. Because just the idea of adding on is not always the right answer. And I guess that's what we wanted to try to get across tonight is there's too many factors to just say, add me four operatories and I can move forward and everybody will be happy. It's not that easy. It really is. Another one, and it has to do with the landscaping, but a little different, is drainage. Now you say, what the heck is that? Well, it's the issue of stormwater drainage. I mean, you've seen it all over the country. There's numerous places where there's all kinds of flooding. You know, that kind of stuff happens. Well, we have also seen across the country that the planning and zoning folks have increased the requirement for drainage. I guess it's almost in a reactionary kind of mode. I don't know what you think, Han, but I've seen it more and more that they're kind of like reacting, oh, crap, we got to put more drainage in because our system is not functioning and we're getting all this flooding and we need to somehow find a way to control it. So the only way to really to control it is that each individual property owner has to spend more money putting in drainage structures, be it a detention pond, a retention pond, pipes under the ground. There's a ton of different ways of doing it, but all that stuff costs money. And you've got to put that in to stop the storm water that comes off your building, that comes off your parking lot, that comes off of any hard surface from instantly, you know, getting thrown into the stormwater drainage system. And with all the new development that's going on, it backs up everything. And the next thing you know, we're looking at flooding and you're on the 8 o'clock news or the 6 o'clock news.
Jim, so it's not okay to basically kind of regrade your yard or your property so you dump on your neighbor's property, right?
No, that's the ultimate bad taboo.
That's the quickest way in the world
to get into a lawsuit. I mean, you can get fined and fined and more fined.
I'm just saying, Jess, I know that you can. Here's the thing. The basic is this. You have a existing piece of land. You have, permeable surfaces where when it rains, it just kind of permeates down into the soil. And then you have your hard surface, which be your building and your parking lot. In the old days, when Jim and I was young grasshoppers, when it rained, you take the water from the roof and put it on the gutter, down the gutter, and it just throw it onto the, onto the nearest surface, and off it go, right? And it just drains out into the ditch or the nearest waterway or whatever. And but in the last few decades, it had caused a lot of flooding issues. So now, you can't take it out into directly out into the storm line. It had to be put in, detained onto your property. So you have a certain amount of surface that had been approved. The addition, that involved hard surface across the building and then your parking. That now reduces the amount of of area that used to be permeable, and it increased the surface that are not, you know, that are, you know, the hard surface that water cannot soak down into. So the amount of retention or detention on your site will be greater. Okay, it's, so the structure to do that may be a larger, you know, pond, and or a combination of pond and underground structure. But those things need to be looked at. It does play an important role onto the addition, part of the addition to the buildings and the site, because the modifications of the site will have some effect on the feasibility of the project.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And that is all part of those things that have to be checked, because again, there are so many factors that go into the effect. Like we said, it's complicated to do an addition. And so many of those things have to be looked at, and you got to check them off the list. And if you don't, then sometimes it doesn't make sense to actually move forward with that addition. Now, one area that we've not talked about at all tonight, and I want to spend a few minutes on is the ADA, American with Disability Act. What happens when you want to do an addition and potentially subsequent renovation of the existing building when it comes to the ADA?
That's always fun. If you, you know, again, there's, if you're one of the lucky ones, your building is on a flat piece of land. But if you bought a house, and houses are usually there, you know, the threshold of your front doors are usually roughly 18 inches off the grade or higher. So, you know, the American with Disability Act will require for you to provide a means for individual that had, you know, that that had disability to actually get into the building. It doesn't have to be the front door, but it has to be a door where you can accommodate it. So, you know, if you're building a brand new building, that's an easy fix. But if you're adding on, then perhaps look at that. If you haven't have the ability to service people that with disability, perhaps even if it doesn't require, and you're still grandfather, that's probably a good time to look at that. So it opened your market to service those individual, that are wheelchair bound and things like that. But the American with Disability Act has it needs to be handled delicately, appropriately so that you are in compliance. For instance, if you have an existing door that's not 3 feet wide, perhaps you expand that. It's a lot of time when you add on or even renovate, even though the building is grandfathered, the amount of money that you invest into the renovation or addition could trigger the requirement for you to update the facility to be fully in compliance. It could mean new door, larger door, different hardware, it go from knobs to lever, a ramp. If the ramp is not possible, perhaps a lift. The extreme case, maybe an elevator. Depends on your building structure, whether it's single story or multi-story. So ADA is one of those things your design professional need to look at and see what needs to be done and how much of it needs to be done. And sometimes sometimes it doesn't have to be a huge amount of money to do that, to update everything. that's just really hallway, a house. If you bought a house and you haven't done anything on the inside, your corridor probably only 36 inches wide. And so all those things, since you're going to be renovating, you're going to have noise, you're going to have dirt, you're going to have disruption, you may want to look at the overall facility and invest in doing it because it makes sense from a business standpoint and from the logistic and usability standpoint, and not just money standpoint. Jim?
Absolutely. Well, hopefully this has been informative. You've taken away at least a few of the things that need to be looked at if you're at that point in your practice that says, I need to do something, I'm running out of room, I need to do an addition. Well, we hope that we've given you at least enough to be able to evaluate whether that is a solution that you need to be forward with, or at least how you need to start. You know, get a hold of a professional, hire someone like ourselves to help you work through that. We can evaluate very quickly whether an addition is even possible. And that's what's so nice about it is, with the expertise that we have and the experience, we can very quickly tell you that, yes, an addition is possible, and here are the places that it could happen and how it could move forward, or no, the addition is not possible, but here are a few other options that you have in front of you so that you can at least have that to be able to start in your decision-making process. Again, mm-hmm. It's not ours to make the decision for you. We don't do that. We represent and present to you all the possible ideas, and then you have to make the final decision, weighing all the factors, being able to say, yes, this is what I want to do or what I want to move forward with. Han, you were going to say?
Yeah, I think the whole process, it's costly. Whether you renovate or renovate and add on or build new. The thing is, if you do your research, you ask your question, you get the proper guidance, it will allow you to make a more informed decision for your need. Not just, I'm looking for a few new or additional operatory, but how will this practice grow in this place, in this space, in this location, into the next 10, 15, 20 years, and so on. So there's a thing that we call the master plan. Okay, it's a discussion of what it is you want now and what do you want in the future. So those discussions, those ideas and options before construction is relatively a small investment compared to building it. And you go like, oh, crap, that was not the smartest thing to do. I should have talked to or do something else. Okay, so the investigation, the due diligence, the sketches are cheap compared to actually hire somebody that convince you that it's the right thing to do because they need it work, and you live with your regrets for years down the road. That's you.
Excellent. Hey, with that, I'd like to also put out a thank you to all our listeners, both the first timers and the loyals. We have well over hundreds and hundreds of listens to our show in the last 38 episodes, today being the 39th. And Han, I didn't get a chance to tell you before, but when I went to this podcast software that I have on my system called CastBox, and you type in dental design, we come up as number 2. I just thought that was really cool. There it is, our show, number 2 in CastBox under the podcast of dental design. So
is it equivalent to being like on the top 10 of the New York bestseller?
Beats me. I have no idea. I just wanted to put that out as a thank you to all our loyal listeners, and you know, put the word out to your associates and your friends and your the other dentists that you know might be looking to be able to get some answers, because you know Han and I enjoy doing these shows, and we know that there are lots of people listening, and we're going to keep doing these shows. Feel free to get a hold of us through our phone numbers and our website. And obviously, email us if you have any questions or show topics you want us to specifically address. We'll fit them in and we'll do that. But again, I just wanted to say thanks to everybody that listens. We're going to keep doing this as long as we can to help get the word out, because it's important. It's important that we have, I like to put it, we have educated clients. We want to help you understand why decisions need to be made and how to make those decisions, not just tell you what to do. That's not our place. Our place isn't to tell you what to do. Our place is to help you make the right kind of decision. So, Han, I'll leave you with the last word.
And appreciate everybody plugging in and spending the time with us. Until next time, good night.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.